Read in English. Avec Araps, Yes You Can. Copyright Larousse 2016. Macbeth. A bloody battle is taking place in medieval Scotland. King Duncan watches his men from above. They are fighting bravely. He notices one in particular, stronger than the rest.
Who is that? That is Macbeth, father, the general of your army.
Look, exclaims the king. He's defeated Macdonald, the traitor.
I must thank Macbeth for his great and loyal service.
Messenger?
Yes, sire, says the messenger.
Go and find Macbeth. Tell him that I'm giving him a new title. He is now Thane of Cawdor.
The long battle is finally over. Tired, Macbeth and his friend Banquo return to the castle. Macbeth sighs.
Today is both fair and foul.
Fair, yes, agrees Banquo.
We are victorious, but why foul?
Many men have died, replies Macbeth quietly. Banquo freezes suddenly.
Look, Macbeth,
he whispers.
What are those strange creatures? Are they women?
I don't know, Macbeth replies.
He turns to the creatures and says, Speak if you can. What are you?
Hail Macbeth, Thane of Cawdor.
Hail Macbeth.
Hail Macbeth, who will be king.
Macbeth doesn't understand these greetings. He is not the Thane of Cawdor, and he is certainly not the king. Banquo is amazed.
You predict a great future for my friend Macbeth. And what future do you see for me?
Hail, lesser than Macbeth and greater,
says one witch.
Hail, not so happy, yet much happier,
says the second.
Hail, your sons will be kings, says the third. Banquo and Macbeth, all hail,
say all the witches. The next instant, they disappear.
Banquo, I just had the strangest dream. It wasn't a dream.
The two friends continue walking towards Macbeth's castle. They think about the witches' predictions. Could the predictions be true? Suddenly, they're stopped by King Duncan's messenger. He gets off his horse and bows to Macbeth.
Macbeth, he cries, King Duncan has heard the story of your bravery in battle. To thank you, he declares you Thane of Cawdor.
Macbeth and Banquo look at each other. The witch's prediction is true.
This is great news, says Macbeth.
Come, Banquo, let's go to see the king.
At the fort, the king welcomes Macbeth like a hero.
Ah, here is the new Thane of Cawdor, he says. Thank you for fighting so bravely.
Sir, replies Macbeth, I was only doing my duty.
Men of honour, continues the king, we are all gathered together. I'd like to take this opportunity to declare my oldest son, Prince Malcolm, the future king of Scotland.
Long live Prince Malcolm!
Macbeth, says the king, we'll celebrate this special occasion at your castle tonight.
Sir, I'd be honoured to have you as a guest, replies Macbeth.
he returns to his castle in Inverness to prepare for the king's arrival. Meanwhile, at the castle in Inverness, Lady Macbeth is reading a letter from her husband. He speaks of the three witches who he met on the day of success. The same day he defeated MacDonald, he became the Thane of Cawdor.
Maybe one day he will be king.
Lady Macbeth is happy to learn the good news, but she doesn't trust her husband's temperament. He's too soft. Does he really have the ambition to be king? A messenger arrives with more news from Macbeth.
My lady, says the messenger, King Duncan is coming to your castle to celebrate your husband's new title tonight.
Lady Macbeth doesn't believe her luck. It is the perfect opportunity to kill the king so that Macbeth can take his place.
What a pleasant surprise,
says Lady Macbeth. The messenger bows and leaves. Lady Macbeth rises and whispers,
Yes, King Duncan is coming tonight. The time is now.
She lifts her arms up to the sky and calls on the spirits of evil.
Spirits, fill my body with cruelty. I don't want to be delicate like a woman anymore. I need the courage to murder King Duncan.
Macbeth returns from battle.
My dear, he says, we won the battle. The king will be here tonight.
And how long will he stay?
Asks Lady Macbeth.
Until tomorrow, replies Macbeth. He will stay the night.
Tomorrow, says his wife, you will be king.
Be quiet. I know what you're thinking, but it's impossible. King Duncan is a good man. He doesn't deserve to die.
Lady Macbeth sees that her husband is afraid to murder. She looks him in the eye.
You're not a man. You're a coward. If you don't act now, you'll regret it for the rest of your life.
But what if we fail? Asks Macbeth. We won't fail, replies his wife. I already have the perfect plan. We'll make the king's guards drink wine until they fall asleep. Then we'll take their swords and kill the king. Macbeth hesitates a moment. Finally, he speaks.
Then we'll cover them in blood, so they will be accused of the murder.
The next day, adds his wife, we'll mourn him like everyone else. No one will suspect us.
Macbeth looks at her with admiration.
You are a brave woman. We will go through with your plan. For the moment, let's pretend to celebrate like everyone else.
The king and his guests arrive at Inverness Castle. The celebration can begin. They eat the best foods in the land and drink the finest wines. They dance long past midnight. King Duncan is in good spirits. At the end of the party, he thanks Lady Macbeth.
Madam, he says, you are a wonderful hostess. Thank you for a lovely night.
Sir, she replies, I know that this party isn't worthy of a king like you, but it was the best we could do on such short notice.
Nonsense! Here, says King Duncan, take this as a sign of my appreciation.
He gives her a box with a small diamond ring inside. She bows to him modestly.
Thank you, Your Grace.
The pleasure is mine. Now, where is my son?
King Duncan goes to find Prince Malcolm in the crowd. Lady Macbeth sees that now is her chance to drug the guards. She takes two jugs of wine, puts powder in them, and goes to see the guards.
Sirs, more wine? She asks.
That's very generous, thank you, say the guards. But we've already drunk too much.
Drink, my friends, she insists with a smile. To your health.
When everyone is sleeping, Macbeth sneaks into the king's chambers. The two guards, who were drugged, snore noisily. Macbeth steals one of their swords and approaches Duncan's bed. The king is sleeping soundly. After the murder, Macbeth meets his wife in the courtyard. "It is done," he says sadly. "Look, my hands are covered in blood. What a tragedy." "Don't tell me you regret it," she replies angrily. Then she sees the sword. "Why do you still have that? You were supposed to leave it next to the guards." "It's too late. I can't go back there now. I'm afraid to think what I've done. Coward, give me the sword. I'll do it." Lady Macbeth returns from the king's chambers. "Look at my hands. They're the same colour as yours. It's done. Go get some water, wash your hands, and no one will suspect you. All of Neptune's oceans couldn't wash my hands enough." "Shh! Be quiet. Put on your dressing gown and go to bed. Lord Macduff will be here early in the morning to visit the king. We can't let him see us awake." The next morning, Macduff arrives at Inverness. Macbeth opens the door.
"Ah, my dear Thane of Cawdor," says Macduff. "I'm here to see the king. Is he awake?"
"Not yet, sir," replies Macbeth.
"He asked me to come early this morning, and I'm not early. Where is he?"
"He's still sleeping," replies Macbeth. "Come, if you like. I'll bring you to him. Follow me."
"Yes, thank you," says Macduff.
He walks with Macbeth.
"What a terrible night! The wind was violent, and some say they heard strange screams of death."
"Yes," agrees Macbeth, "it was a rough night." "Here is the king's bedroom. This is where I leave you." Macduff goes into the bedroom and finds the king covered in blood.
"Oh, horror! Murder!"
"A murder? What are you talking about? The king has been killed in my own castle! Who would dare?" Macduff points to the two guards.
"Look! The murderers are covered in blood! They won't live a second longer!"
Macbeth takes one of their swords and kills them both in a fit of rage. He feels a sense of relief. These men will never be able to tell their story. He can never be proven guilty. Prince Malcolm comes into the bedroom to see what all the noise is about, followed by Lady Macbeth.
"What's going on here?" he asks.
"It's not easy for me to tell you," begins Macbeth, "but your father has been murdered."
"Murdered? Who did it?"
"His guards did it. We found them covered with his blood, but don't worry. I avenged your father's murder. His guards are dead." The prince doesn't look satisfied with Macbeth's answer. "Why did you kill them? Now we'll never be able to question them. We'll never know why they did it." "You're right," replies Macbeth. "But I was so angry when I saw your father's body. I couldn't control myself. I had to take revenge." Prince Malcolm is confused and anxious. He secretly speaks to a loyal servant. "I don't know who the real murderer is, but I do know one thing. He wants to be king. And the only obstacle left is me. So, I'll leave. I'll go to England. Here, it's too dangerous." Several days later, Macbeth learns that Prince Malcolm has run away. He uses the news to his advantage. "If Malcolm has run away, it means he's guilty. He must be the one who killed his father to become king." The rumour spreads. More and more people believe that Prince Malcolm is the murderer and that he will never return to Scotland. Since, after Prince Malcolm, the next in line for the throne is the Thane of Cawdor, Macbeth becomes king. But he's not at peace. He's constantly thinking about the prediction of the three witches. Didn't they say that Banquo's children would be kings? If so, it means he killed Duncan for nothing. A servant comes in with a message.
"Sir," he says, "the two men that you wanted to see are here."
"Good," replies Macbeth. "Let them come in." Do you know how to keep a secret? Asks Macbeth.
Sir, we're as quiet as tombs.
All right, listen carefully then. In an hour, you'll go to a certain place in the woods. A man and his son will pass by. You'll kill them both, quickly and silently. Is that understood?
Perfectly, sir.
Macbeth watches the two men as they turn to go. Banquo and his son don't have much time left to live. The assassins are hiding behind trees. Suddenly they hear the sound of a horse. Banquo and his son appear. The assassins don't hesitate. They attack right away.
They're coming. I'll take the old man and you take the boy.
Banquo is killed, but his son manages to escape. Meanwhile, at the castle, a banquet is taking place. One of the assassins waits for Macbeth at the door to the banquet hall.
You have blood on your face, says Macbeth.
It is Banquo's blood,
replies the assassin. I prefer his blood on your face than in his veins.
And his son?
His son escaped.
Good Lord!
Macbeth begins to feel afraid. Well, thank you for Banquo. I'll find his son. Macbeth returns to the banquet to sit on the throne, but in his place he sees the ghost of Banquo.
Get out! Go away, terrible ghost!
Don't worry, my friends. Since he was young, the king has often had hallucinations. I'll take care of it. You can eat in peace. Lady Macbeth then goes to her husband and whispers in his ear,
If you are really a man, then calm yourself. You're acting crazy. There is no ghost. Your throne is empty.
But Macbeth can't control himself. He goes to see the witches and says,
I beg you, tell me, what's going to happen to me? Speak!
Add the blood of a pig that's eaten its children to the cauldron. Add the finger of a strangled baby to the cauldron. Add the tongue of a dog. Now come ghosts.
Three ghosts rise from the earth.
Macbeth, don't trust Macduff.
Macbeth, don't be afraid to fight. No man born of a woman will be able to kill you.
Macbeth. You will never be defeated until the Forest of Burnham marches towards your castle.
The predictions reassure Macbeth. Every man is born of a woman. The Forest of Burnham will never march towards his castle. He is invincible. He decides to kill Macduff anyway, just to be sure. But Macbeth still has one more question to ask.
Will the sons of Banquo be kings?
Kings, show yourselves.
Eight kings suddenly rise up from the ground. They all look like Banquo. Then the ghost of Banquo himself appears, covered with blood. Macbeth turns to the three witches.
The prediction is true, then. His sons will become kings.
Yes, everything we say is true.
Then the witches disappear. Macbeth goes back to the castle. A servant tells him,
Sir, a messenger came when you were out. He had news of Macduff. He is in England with Prince Malcolm. Macduff doesn't want to come back to Scotland as long as you are the king.
If I can't murder him, I'll murder his family. Go to his castle and kill everyone you find there, men, women and children. That's an order.
Murder! Help!
Lady Macduff and her son are in their castle when they hear a loud noise from outside. Macbeth's men enter by force and ask,
Where is Macduff?
I don't know,
Lady Macduff replies.
He's a traitor. We're here to take him away.
No,
cries Macduff's son. You're a liar!
One of the men kills him with a knife. Lady Macduff tries to run away, but Macbeth's men catch her. They kill her without hesitation.
Let's go, says one man. We have to find the other children.
In England, Macduff and Prince Malcolm organize a rebellion. Thanks to the help of the King of England, they've gathered more than 2,000 men. The same day, a Scottish lord comes to them with news from the homeland.
So what's happening in Scotland?
Asks Macduff.
It's like a tomb, replies the lord. Every day, new victims are mysteriously murdered.
He hesitates.
And that's not all. In fact, I have even more terrible news. It's for you in particular, Macduff.
Well then, speak.
Your wife and children are among those murdered.
What? My wife and children?
Everyone in your castle, even the servants.
I swear to God in heaven, I'll have my revenge. I'll kill Macbeth, the demon of Scotland.
Sometimes at night, Lady Macbeth walks and talks in her sleep. Her lady-in-waiting sees this and asks a doctor to check on her. The doctor watches her as she rubs her hands together.
Out, damned spots! Will my hands ever be clean? The old man had a lot of blood. And Macduff's wife, where is she? Put on your dressing gown, Macbeth, and go to sleep. Don't worry, Banquo is dead. He won't come out of his tomb. Go to bed.
The doctor says, the queen has a tortured soul. She doesn't need a doctor. She needs a priest. The next day, a messenger hurries to find Macbeth in his throne room.
Sire,
cries the messenger.
What is it? Asks Macbeth.
10,000 English soldiers are approaching the castle, led by Prince Malcolm.
It doesn't matter. As long as the Forest of Burnham isn't marching, nothing can scare me. Get out of here, you coward.
Suddenly, a woman can be heard screaming.
What's happening?
Asks Macbeth. The lady-in-waiting runs into the room and throws herself at his feet.
Sir! The Queen is dead! She has killed herself!
Macbeth doesn't react.
Sir!
She repeats shyly. Did you hear and understand what I said?
He heard and understood. But he has seen so many horrors in the last few months that nothing moves him anymore. Macbeth takes his wife's body in his arms. A messenger arrives quickly.
Sir!
He cries.
What?
The Forest of Burnham is marching towards the castle.
Liar!
Come and see for yourself, sir.
All right, agrees Macbeth. I'm coming, but if you're lying, I'll hang you from the first tree that I see. Life is short and insignificant.
Macbeth follows the messenger up to the ramparts.
Look, sir,
he says. Thousands of soldiers are marching towards the castle. They're all holding branches cut from the neighbouring Burnham Forest. They look like moving trees.
Why are they holding those branches? Asks Macbeth.
Probably so that you don't know how many soldiers there are.
So it's true.
The Burnham Forest is marching towards my castle. There is no escape now. This is my destiny.
Macbeth observes the men and the branches for a moment. He turns to his messenger.
The soldiers will soon be here. Bring me my armor.
The English army easily forces entry into the castle. A young soldier goes into the throne room. He notices Macbeth.
What is your name?
He asks.
You'll be afraid to hear it. My name's Macbeth.
Let's fight, tyrant,
cries the young soldier. The young man fights well, but Macbeth is victorious.
You were born of a woman, says Macbeth to his dead rival. I have no reason to fear any man born of a woman.
Suddenly, Macbeth hears a voice behind him.
Turn, hellhound, turn! Tyrant! I'll kill you myself. If I don't, the ghosts of my wife and children will haunt me for the rest of my life. Get out. I've already killed enough members of your family. But Macduff draws his sword. Macbeth and Macduff start to fight. The king knocks his rival to the ground. As he's getting back up, Macbeth asks him, "Were you born of a woman?" "No," replies Macduff.
"No?" cries Macbeth, horrified.
"What do you mean?"
"I was taken out of my mother's stomach before my expected date of birth. So no, I wasn't born of a woman."
Macbeth is very pale, but he can't stop now and continues to fight. Macbeth's small army quickly loses the battle. Macduff arrives with Macbeth's head on his sword. He shows Malcolm the head and says,
"Hail the King of Scotland! Now that Macbeth is dead, you are the new king. We are victorious. The tyrant is dead.
Hail the King of Scotland!